Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Jolene Loria, Controller of the U.S. Department of Justice. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Melinda Balthrop. So, Jolene, given OMB and Treasury's focus on the four shared services providers, can you talk to us about how DOJ fits into this landscape? Do you anticipate Justice becoming the fifth shared service provider?
I not only anticipate it, but I welcome it. I talked about utopia, the final, the final frontier for the unified system. Well, after we've built this amazing system, why not be a shared service provider? Why not take what we've learned and what we've perfected and then service other federal agencies who wish to use our product? So I anticipate it. I see that as the next step. We are actively engaged with OMB and Treasury on becoming a shared service provider for the Momentum product. But we have a couple of criteria. First, we'll go back to my priority. We have to finish what we started. I have to protect the fact that we need to finish Justice's implementation and get our entire organization on it. And I think the learning that we have achieved in all of the organizations that we have implemented make us a perfect shared service provider, because we will then use all of that sort of tough mudder spirit. And when another federal department says, well, we shouldn't be adopt your application because we're so different. Oh my, we have 40 different components on our system. We know how to implement a system with common, consistent processes, but configure it so that it works for the user. And so I think we would be a perfect shared service provider because of the lessons that we've learned in sharing and implementing it throughout the Department of Justice. But we the engagement that we are talking about with OMB is we have to finish what we started first before we then deliver that to other folks. And then the second part about it, the shared service provider that I think is critical, is that once we become a shared service provider, don't leave us on a limb. we have to, constantly feed that product and constantly, like I said, keep up with the upgrades and the changes in the system and the product, so that when we deliver it to outside of the Justice Department, we're not delivering yesterday's technology. I probably didn't say this, but that is one of the main challenges in the federal government and the Department of Justice. As soon as we implement something, it's already old technology. It's like sending the space station up in orbit, and it gets up there, and all of a sudden the technology is old. You can't bring it back down. But for us, just staying current with technology is such a challenge, because the money aspect, but also the learning aspect. So I'm welcoming there's some risk there, welcoming being the fifth shared service provider, looking forward to it, but with the caveats that we need to finish what we started, and then we need a commitment, if we're going to be a shared service provider for the government, that we stay current and be the best in the game.
As DOJ's Performance Improvement Officer, would you tell us more about your efforts in conducting timely performance reviews of the components? In what ways do these reviews drive accountability, align expectations and priorities department-wide, and encourage data-driven decision-making?
Well, I have to start by saying, as you know, I'm the department's performance improvement officer, but I always start a meeting by saying I'm the oldest performance improvement officer in the government, and then everybody laughs because there may be people older than me in age, but I am the first performance improvement officer in the Department of Justice in 2007, and I'm still the performance improvement officer, and I've seen performance improvement officers come and go, sometimes because they were in a political position when they were performance improvement officer, but sometimes just because they've cycled out. So I've witnessed the performance improvement effort from the beginning of the PIO till today. So I've seen a lot of changes. And I think what instills sort of the data-driven performance reviews is the fact that you have a performance improvement officer, the fact that the government now is required to have quarterly status reviews, that we have meetings with the chief operating officer of the organization and we talk about performance. I never really worry about what's on the pieces of paper that we're presenting, what we do with the data. I care mostly about the conversation, because it's not always about what's in the quarterly status report or what's in the data. It's about having the conversation and getting the department at the highest levels to react and then implement a change because of it. So I don't focus so much on the specific reporting compliance aspects of the performance improvement officer, but the fact that we're having data-driven reviews, the fact that we get together on our priorities and look at metrics and then drive change, I mean, that's to me what it means to have a successful performance improvement effort in the department.
That won't be done without some sort of collaboration and partnership. And I get the pleasure of asking many of my government executive guests about their use of collaboration and partnerships among agencies and with the private sector to achieve mission results. Jolene, would you tell us how you're leveraging partnerships to improve operations or outcomes? And to what extent, given your success with UFMS, has collaboration and partnerships drive innovation?
Well, first, it drives success. There's nothing that I do in my job without collaboration or a partnership with somebody, because I am in an oversight capacity and I have to collaborate with sometimes 40 different components, but mainly the big bureaus in the department, to get them to do things that they not necessarily would do. And the only way that you can drive common, consistent decision making is by collaborating with other folks. And so it's part of my vision and mission as the controller. I'll give a small story about that. We sit at the top of the department and we review agencies' budgets and spending, and we have the power and control, if we choose to use it, to move money around the department to achieve certain objectives, and we have the power to take it from one organization and move it to another one. That never happens in a happy meeting. Never happens pleasantly. And nobody likes to give up something that they believe was given to them for the benefit, of another organization. So how do you do that? You do that by collaborating across components, and you do that by relationship building and figuring out ways to satisfy everybody's objectives. So we couldn't do our job without collaborating with the justice components. But we also couldn't do our job without collaborating with the private sector. So I mentioned earlier we have the JMD service review. We could not have done that without leveraging private sector expertise to come in and help us set a foundation and set up a system of cost, performance, metrics, so that then we have a platform to work from. So we collaborate all the time with the private sector, bringing in their expertise where we know we don't immediately have it, but have to create a change. And hopefully we either learn how to do what the private sector is doing, or they become what we call structural contractors in the department. They actually perform like a government employee. So collaboration in everything we do, whether I'm collaborating with the CIO, the Chief Information Officer of the department, so that we can make sure that we're stepping in sync, whether I'm collaborating with other department components on their budgets and their financial operations, whether I'm collaborating with the private sector to get them to help us achieve an objective, I couldn't do my job without that aspect.
You brought up the private sector, and I just want to ask this question about how can the private sector better help improve the efficiency and effectiveness of government's financial management function?
I'm just going to answer it, it's like, what can you do for me? What have you done for me lately? Or what's the most recent thing on my mind? I think that the private sector can help us in the technology area in particular. And when there are new products, why not just train us for free? Why not just train, have open days where you can, invite 10 people from the government to learn your product? Because I feel like the training aspect of technology is so huge. Getting individuals to learn how the product works, that's step one. Then once they learn how the product works, we don't really get the efficiencies until we exploit that product, until we actually use it to its fullest capacity. I can sit in front of you today and tell you that Unified Financial System is wildly successful. I know there are modules of UFMS we haven't even opened. We don't even know how to use them because we haven't been fully trained. We're implementing what we know. And I think if the private sector were to step into my world and just say, you know, I want people to adopt business analytics and the smart technology tools, but the learning curve is so huge and the resources are so limited to train that if the private sector would have more free training days or open, you know, exploration days so that we can basically learn it and then take it inside the organization, it would help us immensely. It would help us to adapt to the change a lot quicker. And I think it would help the private sector because they would then have us wanting to use their product before we even attempted to use it. So I think just being a little bit more innovative on how to introduce new technology to the government. And in some ways, you know, you can't take a free gift all the time in the public sector, but there are ways that we can make it easier for us to adapt to new technology.
Jolene, given the crucial and strategically important role financial information plays in mission and program delivery, how has federal financial management evolved to become more of a strategic business partner? And from your perspective, what are the key characteristics of an effective federal financial and budget executive?
Well, I started out and probably long-windedly talking to you from my perspective about the things that the Justice Department is and does. Financial management isn't, you know, about the green eye shades and accounting and you know, everyone says, are you an accountant? I was put that out there. I'm not an accountant. But financial management has become a key player. It only becomes a key player when you understand the mission that you're trying to deliver and that you sit at the table as a partner in helping that mission and service delivery. So the reason that I spend so much time talking about the mission is because I want my organization to say it, believe it, and understand it. Otherwise, we really are just green eye shades moving pennies from one, you know, ledger to another. I never want a financial management expert in my organization not to understand that. And I think that gets to what we talked a little bit earlier about the challenges of training. Mm-hmm. Getting the mission support functions out in the field and out to experience the mission itself is hugely beneficial. So when we implemented, I have tons of stories, but when we implemented UFMS, when we go from one organization to the other, we would have some of our kickoff meetings, like we went down to Quantico for FBI, so that folks that work for me for years have never been to a firing range, for example, in the FBI, or have never been to a ride-along with the Marshals Service, or have never been to the fire research lab of ATF. But when you're implementing a system that's supposed to support those kinds of functions without having the opportunity to see what they do and why they do it, I think that you miss the mark. And then you become the green eye shade accountant that they consult to after their work is done. And you miss opportunities to become strategic in that business relationship. And so I think that my organization, and I can say that for a fact, is not like that. We sit at the table with those that perform the mission and come up with creative and collaborative ways to help them perform the mission. I started talking earlier about what the budget finance function does, and we have the opportunity to be very critical. We have the opportunity to take resources from one and give to the other, but we don't do that. We sit down at the table and say, okay, here's the objective we want to achieve. Here's the way we see it best achieved. What do you think? And then they give us their answer. And sometimes we always come to the common solution at the end. That's the only way that you can be an effective business partner.
So, Jolene, what advice would you give someone who's thinking about a career in public service?
Well, for me, the advice is pretty simple. I mean, I talked about my slogan, if you wish for peace, work for justice. So I always want people to come work for justice. But in the public sector, I would just say, just do it. Mm-hmm. It is an amazing career. It's an amazing experience. There are so many things that I do on a daily basis that I couldn't even explain in an interview, but at the end of the day, the job or the function that you perform, if it's about a paycheck, we all know the adage, you know, you come into this world with nothing and you leave with nothing. The paycheck is really not going to change that what you came in with and what you left with. But if you can leave the world something behind, that's, I think, an immensely powerful reason to take a job. And so when you work at the Department of Justice or in many public sector organizations, you leave a better community, you leave a freer society, you leave something behind after you've performed your job that's not about the money. And so to me, you know, when you're looking at a career and you're saying, oh, I can make double digits if I was in this private sector entity, or I can work for the government and never get trained and, you know, be abused and complained about every day. That's just fodder. That's not exactly what happens. When you come inside the federal government or you come inside the halls of justice, you realize immediately that you're creating profound change and safer communities. And it's hard not to love something like that. So my advice would be just do it. Just do it.
Well, Jillian, thanks for your time today. I mean, your passion really comes through in this interview, and I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day. But more importantly, Melinda and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Thank you.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with Jolene Loria, Comptroller of the U.S. Department of Justice. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.